Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for Filani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I think for us, when you look at Evaldi's scenario, and just due to circumstances, it's taken a little bit longer for him to come back than what we would have hoped, and he would have hoped. To get him back and pitch for us quicker is out of the bullpen. Originally, he stated when we signed him and over the winter time that he really didn't want to go into the bullpen, but he's changed that because he really wants to get back as quickly as he can. And really, I mean, for us, it strengthens our bullpen. It gives us some more depth out there. Some clubs tried to sign him as a bullpen guy. So he's in a different mindset. It doesn't preclude us from pitching him and still lengthening him out at some point if we want to do that, but it gets him back quicker for us and think it helps us.
So as we continue our search here to find, that's Dave Dombrowski talking about the decision to move Nathan Eovaldi to closer, which apparently will happen after the All-Star break, as we try to effort the U.S. women's game here in the studio.
You've got Tom and Jerry on.
I don't even know who they are. Who Tom? What channel? I'm trying to find Fox.
Wow, how old are you? You don't know Tom and Jerry?
It's 25, Alex.
Oh, just regular 25?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Didn't know how about the HD version.
Oh, Captain Marvel.
There we go.
I haven't seen that
yet.
Can
I watch in HD? Let's see. Oh,
there
look
you
at
go.
That. All right, now how do I do for these over here?
Doesn't matter. I can
25.
See it.
We'll just
25.
Let Fish play while you guys do that.
I thought this was elevator music. Damn it, I'm bad at this game.
Actually, this is elevator music.
Oh, right. Wow. I'm better at this game than I thought.
Excellent. So the U.S. women and Netherlands underway. 0-0. Here we go. This is the good stuff. That was Dave Dombrowski about Nathan Eovaldi, Chris. So last night it was not the bullpen that blew things for the Red Sox. They did win the game 10-6. It was Rick Porcello who got lit up six runs in 5 1/3 innings. His ERA is now north of 5, and it's worth mentioning that this start from Porcello, and he got blown up midway through the sixth, didn't complete the inning, came with Sandy Leone behind the plate instead of Christian Vasquez. Some people, including Aaron Loomer-Loney, beating that drum that the starting pitchers, Salen Porcello in particular, clearly not comfortable throwing to Christian Vasquez in comparison to Leone, but we've seen Sale give up 5 runs with Leone behind the dish, as he did a few weeks ago against the White Sox, and now we see Porcello get hit around a bit with Leone behind the dish as well. But Eovaldi, what's your take? Because I've been calling it for the last week or so a panic move, a move that's destined to end in disaster. I can't think of one positive about it, frankly. Nathan Eovaldi going to closer,
yeah,
and what it says about the Red Sox approach in general.
I think, aren't you kind of in a panic state at this point? You're in a wild card hunt, so to speak, but I feel like the Red Sox are back in this where they were for a bunch of years here with this sort of folk intention, where they're kind of, you can make the case that they're only a few games out of the second wild card, and you put a winning streak together, et cetera. I mean, they're, 11 back of the Yankees now,
yes,
in the loss column?
Yep. And
so
still back in the wild card behind two teams.
That's been slipping away. They have fewer teams to leapfrog than they have in some past years, where they've been sort of on the periphery of contention, but they've had to jump through, you know, 5 or 6 teams. A lot has to go right at that point.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of options for this team right now, and clearly this is an area they needed to address. It's something that, if it does go wrong, I think you got the ability to correct. It's not like you can't then maybe make an adjustment, stretch him out, put him back in a starting spot. I mean, he's shown an ability to adapt to pretty much any role that you put him in. That's one of the things that Eovaldi gives you. He's sort of a versatile arm.
But he's also undergone 2 Tommy John surgeries. He just underwent surgery earlier this season to remove some loose bodies in his right elbow.
But the health's going to be a worry regardless.
But in particular, he does not seem like a guy who is made to pitch in that high usage, high leverage, high stress closer role.
He did it last year in the postseason,
in the playoffs,
pitching high leverage situations, high leverage spots, not just coming out of the bullpen, but also being a workhorse
and what
guy
happened
with him.
He had to have surgery.
He had to have surgery
on his elbow.
I understand that. Well, what's the alternative though? What's the solution? There's just
a lot of options. Acquire somebody. Shane Green, Sergio Romo. I mean, there are guys available. There always are. at the deadline, or before the deadline, with how many teams are out of contention, teams would have been willing to sell April 15th if you wanted. I mean, Dave Dombrowski, the true story is, did not do his job this offseason. They lose Craig Kimbrell. They lose Joe Kelly. They don't replace
them. Never replaced him. That's where all of this started. There's no doubt about it.
And now you're forced to use Eovaldi, a guy who, by the way, you re-signed for $67 million, $17 million per. And you're going to put him in the closer's role?
I think Eovaldi, though, yes, set the contract aside, which I know is difficult to do. Set the contract aside. I think he's got the ability to give you more than any of those external options can in that role.
Yeah, I mean, why? He's never done it. I mean, his career strike, it throws 99, but he strikes out 6.7 batters per nine innings. That would be dead last among closers this year in baseball. I mean, so Eovaldi, I don't know if he even has the strikeout stuff to put.
But I do wonder whether the approach will be different for him throwing one inning as opposed to six or seven. Do you pitch to contact less? And he still throws hard no matter what. So some of that number might be a product of what he's been doing as a starter.
But what a misallocation of resources then if you're paying a guy $17 million per year to
different conversation.
Come pitch at the end of games.
Different conversation, but you're in kind of a break glass in case of emergency situation with the Red Sox right now. Division slipping away, if not
away. It's gone.
Wild card, you're very much in a fight.
Too bad.
And there's been very little that you can sort of glom onto with this team and say, well, you know, this is something you can feel good about. They had that something the last week. All of a sudden, the lineup change, moving Rafael Devers up, having that Betts-Devers combination at
the top. An all-star snub that you are furious
has
about.
Given, well, he's better than anybody else at his position that's in the all-star game.
It is a joke. And that's the thing. I mean, Betts actually, Mookie, for all the criticism he's gotten for his bad start, last 3 weeks, hitting above .300 here in June. Slugging percentage north of .500, I believe it is. So Mookie looks like he's coming on. You mentioned Devers, right? It's really, though, why?
And they found offense at the beginning of games, which they haven't had. Right. They found the ability to actually jump out in front of teams, which allows them to survive an outing like they got from Rick Porcello last night. So those are maybe some things you can sort of grab onto, but until that recent stretch, there hasn't been much. It's just been a team treading water now for more than half the season.
And the biggest reason is the bullpen, the blown leads, the blown saves, and Dombrowski didn't
do his job. Which is why you can call it a panic move, but it's something that they need to do. It's an area they need to address. And I think, again, at the high end of what Eovaldi could be, he could be better than the external options. It's an area you absolutely need to get right if you're actually going to be a playoff team.
It's such a black mark, though, on Dombrowski, an indictment on his lack of activity this offseason. That's why if I were a player, this is what he tells the Boston Globe this week. We built our ball club for them to be our strong suit, meaning the starting rotation. I don't think the starters have been what we expected or hoped. They're a very talented group of pitchers. They're the guys who are supposed to carry us. That's why I think they've been fine. They've been okay. But I can't say they've carried us at any point. The bullpen keeps getting pointed to all the time. I think a lot of times unfairly. It's just that collectively, in a lot of places, we have not done as well as we hoped. I say Dave, number one, sure. Chris Sale, 3-8, ERA north of 4, absolutely has not been what you thought he would be. And that is the biggest long-term concern to emanate from this first half, because that extension hasn't even kicked in yet. Porcello, no doubt, ERA north of 5, has been a disappointment. Eovaldi has been hurt. But the bullpen is the reason why this team is not in control of a wildcard spot right now. They have, 17 or 18 blown saves, lead all of baseball, 8 games they've lost, in which they've been leading after 7, 4 they've lost, in which they've been leading after 8. That is the bullpen, Dave. And if I'm a player, if I'm a starting pitcher, if I'm a position player even, and I read those comments from Dombrowski, and he says the bullpen is getting unfairly blamed, I say, talk about covering your own ass, Dave. Really? You throw us under the bus to cover your own ass? That is a bad quote team president of baseball ops.
The bullpen is being fairly blamed, and there was sort of an approach of, with bullpens, you can kind of figure it out, maybe an approach of, well, there'll always be guys available, you could always grab somebody, but we've seen now multiple incarnations of it with the Red Sox over the past 10 years or so, examples where if you don't have the back end of the bullpen solidified, it really prevents you from truly being a contending team. And there have been years where the Red Sox had the back end of the bullpen solidified. They had Kimbrel, for example, but the question that sort of just besieged them the entire season, including last year, by the way, all the way into the postseason, is how do you get to the closer? How do you get to Craig Kimbrel and the struggles of doing that? You have to have that ninth inning, or at least that whatever high leverage inning late in the game. You have to be able to have a guy that you can go to, that you can trust, and then build everything around that. If you don't have that, you've got nothing. That's what the Red Sox have had this year. So that's why the Eovaldi move, how do you, if you look at it in the total context of team building, then I'm in line with you. Yes, it shows, it highlights,
terrible
look. Spotlights a failure to address. You want to let Kimbrel, Kelly walk in the offseason? Fine. Okay, great. How are you then going to replace them? It highlights that failure. In a vacuum, taking things not as they should be, but as they are, I think it makes sense for the Red Sox because it's something that they need to address.
But there's
it's
no
an emergency. It's a panic move. They're in a panic situation.
I guess we just view
they're in a panic situation
I guess we just
now.
View Evaldi's future closer differently. You know, I don't think this could work out because I don't know if he has the stuff to play at the end of games, given his low strikeouts.
You don't think it's at least worth rolling the dice on,
no.
Given where they are
because
right now?
Because how about then you're leaving a massive hole as well in the middle of your rotation? I mean, the starters who have tried to fill Evaldi's spot have been terrible. Terrible. They are tiring out this bullpen every 5 day. So you are leaving a big hole in your rotation by trying to solve another hole.
But you're also trying to plug a hole that, as you just pointed out, has been directly responsible for games slipping away. And right now, it's not a great situation they're in. They wouldn't be moving Evaldi at all if they were in a good position. They're starting from bad. They're starting from a position that is not one of strength. So how do you take that and try to make the best of a bad situation? I think moving Evaldi to the closer role could be the way to do
that. But then keeping a permanent hole in the middle of your rotation where the guys filling in for Evaldi, your Hector Velasquez's, your Ryan Weber's,
you
your
want to
Josh
talk about,
Smith's.
But trying to get somebody in the on the trade market, that's where they may look instead. They may look starting pitching as opposed to back-end rotation guy.
And that's why if John Henry...
And they probably need a starter and a bullpen guy. I don't know whether they have the ability to pull that kind of thing off or who they could possibly get that would actually make an impact. But no, they're in a bad spot. There's no
question about
that.
And Dombrowski is to blame for that overall. And John Henry tells Rob Bradford, I don't know how much more money you're willing to allocate. It's a matter of how much more do we want to lose. And he got a lot of criticism for that, and rightfully so. And Shaughnessy followed up with it today in the Globe in one of his notes columns saying, I emailed the owner directly to ask him if the Red Sox are indeed losing money, because I would find this awfully concerning, especially when you factor in Nesson.
That would be...
Yes, and John Henry...
There's no way.
Yeah, John Henry did not get back to him, and so Henry's been criticized for conflating a few things with that quote, and rightfully so, but he has a right to be ticked off. You've spent $230 million on this team, second straight year, highest payroll in baseball by a large margin, and this is a team you have out there. I mean, you spent money this offseason. You spent about $75 million. You just spent it in the wrong areas. You spent it on bringing back Nathan Evaldi and Steve Pierce. I mean, so that money would have been way better spent elsewhere. And the other thing that's crazy, too, is this bullpen, as bad as it's been in the first half, this is not a surprise. I mean, you mentioned it. Heading into the year, they were thin. I mean, guy like Brandon Workman has dramatically overachieved so far this season.
Last year, they were thin. They won 108 right. games last year, and they were thin. They needed Evaldi. They needed Chris Sale in a couple of spots.
That's how it worked in October.
They needed to piece it together. Right. They needed to piece it together in the postseason. Porcello. They were thin last year with a proven closer at the back end. Even Kimbrel was shaky at times. But they had a ninth inning guy, a closer role solidified, and they were still shaky. They still struggled a bit to try to bridge that gap. So there's no question. If you're looking at it in the broader context of team building and constructing, that is a failure on the part of Dombrowski and a failure on the part of Red Sox ownership. Again, I'm looking at it sort of through the very narrow lens of, okay, you're in this bad situation. Now what? And I think this what could work.
617-779-7937. Taking your calls on that. We also have U.S. Women, Netherlands, they're underway. Still 0-0, surprisingly, Chris. 0-0. But
yep.
To go after our conversation earlier about Alex Morgan and the celebrations and is a criticism levied at the women, is it sexist? Well, Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post just came across this column. Has a pretty decent counterpoint about actually the criticism levied at the women for celebrating is not sexist. So we'll go through that next. Also, continue to keep you got to give us the live play-by-play of this as well, Volani.
Yes, the Americans are in the white.
Thank you.
Netherlands in the orange.
Great. More Is It Fisher elevator music as well, and media stars. A busy, busy final half hour of Volani and Reamer.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Filani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Still nil-nil.
All right, this is definitely
Women's
fish.
Netherlands?
Right?
Yes. Yeah, does this sound a little fish-like? Dun,
dun, dun. Something sounded fishy there.
So, bad. Just to... Good. We got to do a Ken Laird reset, right? For those who missed it, I went to fish last night.
You did?
And we've been playing a game called Is It Fish or Is It Elevator Music?
Harder than you would think.
It's been really hard, yeah. I've gotten better at it as the morning has gone on here. But it was an experience... I don't quite get it. People love it.
Get what? Fish?
Fish. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of things that I like. You look at the lineup of shows that I'm going to just in the next couple weeks.
Lay it on me.
Fish.
Okay.
Florida Georgia Line.
All right. Ugh.
That's the one at...
John Anderson does not like them.
Yeah, I do not.
He's a Zach Brown guy. That's the one at the Xfinity.
Oh, is there a rivalry? You're not allowed to like both?
Yeah, it's like Star Wars and Star Trek.
Really?
You gotta pick one.
Why do you like both?
Nothing like that.
You're going to Zach Brown Band as well later this summer.
Zach Brown Band's more for me. FGL is more for the
other
part of the equation.
I understand.
Not that I dislike them, but I would not go to this show if not for that.
Okay.
Largely because of the venue.
What else do you
I hate going to that.
What venue? The Xfinity Center?
Yeah. Okay. Is that what it's still called?
Yes. I got arrested there once at a Dave Matthews concert.
So much of that checks out. Like, everything about
that
checks
out. We were drinking.
The show was crap. You had to try to...
More or less. I had a better time in county jail.
In lockup.
Than I did at the show. No, we were, pre-gamming before the concert. 18, 19-year-old kids rolling in our minivans, stocked with liquor. We pull up in a creepy minivan. All the girls, I was a chick maggot, hoard
a
the
maggot?
Minivan.
Yes, I see that.
A magnet.
Oh, okay.
That's what was in my tree. Maggots in my trash. I'm a chick magnet. Going into the concert, pulling into the parking lot, the vast parking lot, Xfinity Center.
Yes.
Car gets
swarmed. Look forward to navigating it.
Instantly, whoop! Cops roll up on bicycles. Bicycles. Demanding to know what's in the car. Why is everybody surrounding your car? Why are people yelling and screaming around this creepy looking minivan? What do you got? Oh, all this alcohol. Let's see these IDs. Oh, boy.
Not quite 21,
my friends. Come with me. Cuffed right there.
Actually arrested
in
you
the
for
park
that?
Lot. Cuffed. Yes. Yeah. It is very degrading to be arrested. You're stripped of all of your possessions. So no watch, no shoes. I was wearing Sperry's without socks.
No shoelaces? They thought you were going to...
No shoelaces. They take off your shoes.
Jeez.
They take off a watch. They obviously take your phone or anything you have in your pocket, including your wallet. I mean, they take everything from you. You're stripped down, and you go, and then I was in a holding cell for the whole night.
All right, Shasha.
One of our friends came and bailed us out. And here's the most Reamer story of all.
Habitual drunkard.
Yes, so it was one of the most really legendary court cases of all time. A landmark case. I'm surprised you ever covered
Commonwealth
this,
v. Reamer.
Your day job, yes. The Massachusetts Commonwealth of Massachusetts versus Alex J. Reamer. Yes, it was a landmark case. We hired a big defense attorney who got all the charges dismissed.
Your aunt?
Yes. No, she knew somebody. She knows. Right. This is criminal law, Chris.
She's
this
a civil, serious. Civil litigator.
It's
yeah,
a serious case here.
Yeah.
All charges were dismissed. Now, my friends...
Were you quaffed? Continue without a finding?
Yes.
Usually you stay
like
out of
that.
Trouble for X amount of time.
Yes. And there were court fees as well that we did not have to pay because we had the high-powered defense attorney.
You had to pay for the high-powered defense attorney.
Right. But, yeah. So my friends, most of whom did not show up with parents or an attorney, they didn't tell, they just kind of went because such a minor thing.
They were pro se litigants.
Yes. Yeah. They wound up only getting charged the court fines, which were less than we paid the defense attorney. So
that's
there you go.
A lesson to you.
So we thought we were beating the system, but in fact we were
paying lawyer
more.
Up.
Do not lawyer up, kids. Represent yourself.
How the hell do we get down this road?
Self-representation. I was talking about I got arrested at the Xfinity Center.
So I've got that FGL on Saturday.
Yes.
Then I'm watching Polo. Newport v. Pittsburgh.
What?
Polo match.
You're watching a Polo match.
Never seen Polo.
Why?
I'm curious to try it out.
Okay. Where is it? Is it Newport, Rhode Island?
I'm not going to Pittsburgh. So yes, it's in Newport,
Rhode
Island.
Well, it could be at a neutral location, a third-party site.
No, it's a home match. Home match okay. for Newport. So watching that, and then Dear Evan Hansen.
What?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Dear Evan Hansen?
Yes, musical.
Okay, see? And I should...
All over the place. I'm all over the place.
The guy I'm seeing now is into the theater. He's into musicals. We saw a musical a couple weeks ago, Funhouse.
I've seen Fun Home. Yeah.
Oh,
I've seen
Home.
Fun Home. So Fun Home.
Such a
is that like a Pink concept album? Fun House?
Fun House. Yes. Pink Floyd. No, or Pink Floyd.
No, I meant Pink like the pop star. Pink,
with the exclamation
Pink
point. Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Pink.
Fun House.
Yeah, it's Fun Home. It's based on a funeral home.
Yes. This is a very uplifting tale. It's about a lesbian who grows up in a funeral home and her father is gay, right?
So it's just 6 feet under.
Her father kills himself by stepping in front of a sunbeam truck.
Well, let's not, ruin the play.
She says that in the first scene.
Well,
act one,
the
listeners, scene one.
The listeners may not have known.
Well,
although I know if a lot of WEEI listeners are going to a Fun Home.
Again, if we're talking Venn diagrams, the Venn diagram of WEEI listeners and people that go to Fun Home is probably two circles.
And the story,
very
by the way, told out of order, interestingly enough. Told out of order.
Young Allison, medium Allison, and big Allison.
A musical that's told out of order. But I was able to keep up with it. I was very impressed with
myself. For the title. Other than that, you kept up with everything.
What is that called? The Fun House
Fun
play?
House, yeah.
Something
it's like one
house.
Of those bouncy houses. That's what I was picturing.
I'm such a loser. So I argued earlier that a lot of the criticism levied at Alex Morgan for a sipping tea celebration and the U.S. women in general for their celebratory antics. I called it sexist. Alex Morgan agrees. But Mike Vaccaro, New York Post, actually made a change of mind, Chris. He goes,
okay.
Sorry, this is just wrong. Going back to the very first game involving the most ballyhooed national team of all, when the 92 Dream Team clobbered Angola 116-48.
Is that where the guy was taking the picture, like told his buddy, like, take a picture because Magic was or Jordan, somebody was posting him up?
I think so. Charles Barkley made something of a spectacle of himself. You want to know the big story counting of Barcelona that day? Barkley the buffoon. He was rightly ripped by everyone. You know why? Because he was representing America. And we are allowed as Americans to believe the men and women who wear our clothes represent us as we'd wish to be represented. So he's saying that it's all about act like you've been there before. This is about the behavior, not the gender. I would say that Mike Vaccaro, this is how I want to be represented. How the U.S. women have carried themselves on the international stage for the last 3 weeks or so is exactly how I want to be represented.
I think they took it a little hard on Thailand, but other than that, yeah, it's been fine. The tea thing, and I saw some other texter, and this seemed like an asinine point. It was mocking the English because the English drink tea.
Well, that's what the conventional wisdom is, yes.
Eh.
Weak, right?
Very weak.
Very lame, very elementary.
Keep her from scoring. Keep her from scoring a goal. It's just, I don't have, at that level, I just don't have a lot of sympathy for you if you lose or get scored upon and the other team celebrates or trash talks in such a way. Whatever. If that makes us ugly Americans, we'll deal with it and you can enjoy the, it'll be a repeat, right? Yeah, they'll be the first team to repeat since Germany.
And then the men can't even sniff, any sort of medal match. Never mind a gold medal match.
There's less celebrating for the U.S. men, yes, in the World Cup.
Yes, absolutely. And I know, by the way, not Olympics. It's, their final match, whatever you want to call it. It's the FIFA equivalent of the gold medal for the U.S. women. Although in the Olympics, they would do it. My theory on that celebration is that she was mocking. She wasn't sipping tea to mock the British or sipping tea. She was saying that she has the tea and she's going to spill it, Alex Morgan. Like, ever hear that expression? Now time to spill the tea. I have all the gossip. I have everything on you.
You did that in December 1773, right?
Yes, I'm now going to sip it and it's right here and I may spill it. So be careful.
I just
that's
picture
what
the
that was.
Kermit the Frog.
That's what that
thing,
was.
Right? That's... Are the U.S. on the attack right now? I can't tell. Yes, they were. Now the Netherlands got the ball back.
The Netherlands are in the orange. Thank you very much.
I wish the goalies, that's one of my things in soccer, I wish the goalies would just wear the same color as... Because if you look quickly, I can't necessarily tell who's on the attack here. I'm not a big soccer fan, so...
No. I'm definitely a fraudulent soccer person. I do not like the sport very much at all.
I did love watching...
Slow, plodding.
I loved watching FC Barcelona. Like, seeing a match live was pretty cool. But other than that, eh.
Raucous crowd. How does the FC Barcelona crowd compare to the Fish crowd?
It was a little bit more electric of an atmosphere, although a much more sober crowd. You can't buy booze in the stadium.
Really?
No. They have... I got a beer because it felt like that's what I should do, but it was a non-alcoholic beer.
I never understood the point of that, of those non-alcoholic beers.
It was questionable at best, but I said, I'm in the stands. I know it's non-alcoholic. I just feel like I should have a beer.
So it's just drinking carbs, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
Ugh. I mean, if you drink dozens of them, you can get a little bit of a buzz, right?
I only had one, so no, I don't.
No, you didn't get it? No, I'm never signing up for non-alcoholic
I don't beers. Think so. If it has no alcohol, how could you possibly...
I think it has a little bit.
It has a little bit?
O'Doul's has a little bit.
I don't know. This,
that flavoring.
They advertise this as non-alcoholic
yeah.
beer.
I, mean,
I don't know what
it was. Minimal amount, but a little bit, a little bit. To one of my uncles who drinks them.
I can tell you...
He drinks
like
three dozen of them. He gets a little buzz.
Yeah, so. I didn't get much of a buzz. Like, so it was a much less sober crowd for Fish last night. And you'd have to be to stand in the crammed concourses of Fenway... Not built for people for hours on end
well,
waiting
so
for the
we,
damn thing to start.
So we buried the lead. I mean, this Fish concert, the most miserable part about it, besides whether or not you could tell if it's elevator music, is the fact that you were all...
Most of the night I thought it was elevator music, but there were four guys on stage. It turned out it was
in
Fish.
In the concourse.
Oh, it was awful.
I mean, all these smelly, wet people.
And of course, Fenway, you know, completely transparently... trying to take advantage of buy as many $13 Sam Adams as possible, because what they could have done is said there's lightning in the area, we're looking at a delay, fans should plan to arrive at, you know, 7:30, and they're going to take the stage at 8:30. They could have done that. No, they told everybody get there early because they're going to try to start the set early, knowing that was impossible, physically impossible, because the worst part of the band that was coming, not the worst part of Fish, but the worst part of the Storm band that was coming through was right at that particular time. But they get you in, you're trapped.
Trap you there.
Like rats.
Yes. Yes, for
nothing
overpriced
but
concessions.
$13 beers
$10
and $14.50 vodka lemonades
right.
to be your sustenance. It is so... And then no updates on social media for 2 hours.
They've gone dark.
Nothing. Completely went dark because now they've got you. So if the Red Sox are losing money, if the Henry Group's losing money, I'm skeptical. They certainly made some of it back last night just in trapping people in there for... And this is why I don't take the tea. Because I don't like being pressed in with the swarm, the unwashed masses and the swarm of humanity.
Oh, that's utterly
disgusting.
I don't
like it. And that is
Hello.
What happened last
Happy
night.
Happy Monday morning. Now have your face pressed up against the glass like a sardine.
Hated it.
So enjoy the ride to work.
We were... probably less than 5 minutes away, because a girlfriend said, let's just go. And I said, hey, we're not staying on my account. I don't really care. I don't even like this band. So it was a couple of minutes after that when they let everybody in.
We're cooking like, now, by the way.
This has got to be elevator music.
This is
right?
the climax.
This is elevator music, correct?
Yes.
It's elevator music. Cooks. I've never been in an elevator.
They have lead guitar in elevator
they
music.
They do.
Yes.
I've
it's
never,
really evolving as a genre.
I've never heard anything like
it's called
this.
Called post-elevator music now.
Yeah. I mean, this is...
New age elevator.
I would see these guys in concert. No
yes.
doubt about it.
You were just going up and down for hours. It's
you were
fantastic.
Down there for the... Why do you keep riding the elevator? I mean, it's music. I can't
You're
going to
take
away.
The stairs with these kind
with
of
these
jams?
Great,
come
with
on.
These great tunes? Come on. I'm late to meetings because I just can't get out of the elevator. I love the music so much. So you were down there in 2 hours at the concourse at Fenway.
Yeah, well, we got in a little after 6:30, I think. And, well, no, we got in there before 6:30. 8:30 is when it started. But they let people in at like 7:30, 7:45, something like that.
Gross.
And it was still kind of raining. Had my trusty $2 poncho, which held up like a champ. And
you still have it?
Has
it didn't survive the show?
I threw it away at Fenway.
Should have worn it here to the show this morning.
No, actually, it did its job.
A fashion statement.
It did its job, and I can respectfully retire it after one undefeated Fish show. But, yeah, it was good. Apparently, they blew through the curfew, too. So for the people that actually like Fish, that could identify one song from the next, they were treated to a little bit of extra music till about 11:15 or so.
And as we were saying earlier as well, I did not know that for outdoor concerts, there are curfews for all these outdoor venues. They start applying to sporting events, though. I mean, Jerry Callahan complains about David Price taking forever to throw the ball. We'll start fining them for breaking curfew.
I think some indoor venues have them, too. I could be wrong, but I feel like the House of Blues, again, maybe because it's in the neighborhood, the Fenway neighborhood, they have a curfew as well, like 11 o'clock or something like that. I'm pretty sure TD Garden doesn't, because I'm remembering Garth Brooks doing doubleheader concerts where he'd have sets that started at 10 or 10:30 and he played till 1 in the morning after doing an earlier set at like 6 o'clock. So maybe the Garden doesn't, but yeah, you've got the venue for or the venue curfew for sports for baseball, especially with some of these interminable games, could be a good thing.
Time to start enacted. Oh, we have a collision.
Yeah, that actually looks like a bad collision too. Like
yes.
Usually,
turn down the elevator music here, John. We're updating the people on this.
When soccer players go down, I'm sometimes skeptical as to how injured they are.
Now,
but that
a
was a
thing.
Bad. That looked like a bad.
One player from the Netherlands and one player from our U.S. team collided with trying to head the ball. Some dual headers and they collided midair. Play has stopped. So definitely a tough situation. I'll keep you updated. Still 0-0.
Still one of the weird things in soccer, though. Play is stopped, but the clock isn't.
Yeah, but they add on the time later.
I understand that, but wouldn't it be easier just to stop the clock and then start it again and then end it at 90?
It certainly would. There's no doubt about it. That, listen, I am a...
That's mystifying to me.
I will say, I think a lot of the love for the U.S. women's team, like, I love what they're doing. I love how they're using their platform, as I've made clear. But the soccer itself, I don't love the game, whether men are playing it, whether women are playing it, whether it's Megan Rapinoe, whether it's somebody who doesn't speak out publicly at all. I mean, the characters have been great, and that's why I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed following the run, but the games themselves, I mean, it is soccer at the end of the day, and I'm not a soccer fan when the men play, and I'm not going to pretend to be one when the women play.
So I liked going to Camp Nou and seeing FC Barcelona play live. That was pretty cool. But again, that was more about the experience of it. The sport itself, not my thing.
Yes, I'm an American slob when it comes to that and my soccer ignorance.
But I love the fact that it's a sport that we collectively don't care about a lot compared to the rest, and we're still going to beat the rest of the world in it.
And as you mentioned, all this...
That's the American arrogance.
Yes, and all the criticism that's been hurled at the U.S. women for their excessive celebrations, it really goes back to that, as you were saying earlier. This is not our game. We are taking over this game, and we are doing it better than anybody else in the world on the women's side.
We're not going to pay much attention to the Men's World Cup in a couple of years.
Probably not.
The next one's in Qatar, right?
That's the famous Qatar World Cup, yes.
Where it's going to be 110 degrees in the shade.
Yes, and it's been good working conditions, obviously, for the workers.
How many people have died? How many thousands of people have died?
I haven't read a lot of updates about the conditions over there recently.
Yeah.
But FIFA is a terrible, terrible organization, which is why I also enjoyed Megan Rapinoe bashing them this week as well. 617-779-7937. We have Media Stars.
Woo.
Coming up next, Volani. I know
you
missed it.
Do they still do the horns?
Do we do the horns? We do the horns better than ever. Yes, that's a little taste. And I also...
Should do like a fish groove instead of the horns.
The worst father
mix the two.
In the world. I have the answer. I know that's a question you've been asking all morning, Chris, to be off the air. Who's the worst father in the world? This article in the Boston Globe, with dad's support, one teen is playing video games instead of going to high school. Take the children away. They'll sneak that in as well with Media Stars, Reamer and Volani.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Volani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Play is resumed on the pitch, still 0-0. You say women. Apparently there's been some questionable officiating here.
I'm also, I agree with that take.
That there's been questionable officiating?
Yeah, having read people say it on Twitter.
Yes. Yes. So we'll be off the air. Red Sox pregame. So turn up the pregame. Turn on the U.S. women. That's really the dream afternoon. Sit outside. Well, I guess if you're watching the women, you can't be. Unless you have an outdoor TV. Watch the U.S. women final. It's Netherlands.
I know. There's absolutely no way to watch something unless you have a television outside. Like, there's no other device you can use to potentially stream any video whatsoever.
You're being a little sarcastic. Is that even a little sarcasm in your voice?
A little sarcasm right there.
People use their phones. I've never done that. Nor do I really want to.
Perhaps a tablet.
I watch TV on TV.
That's it? You're old school?
That's what I do, yes.
Get the rabbit antenna?
I don't mix my technology.
Okay.
We'll get to Media Stars in a moment, but I want to tell you about the worst fraud in the world. It's in the Boston Globe this morning. With dad's support, one teen is playing video games instead of going to high school. Story of Jordan Herzog and his father, David Herzog, who now has forced his son to drop out of school, play video games up to 14 hours a day. For the past few months, much of Jordan Herzog's life has been contained in his extra bedroom. It's where he eats all of his meals, where he works through the few hours of daily online courses that serve as his schooling, and where he spends 8 to 10 hours a day, though sometimes as many as 14, training to become one of the best competitive video game players in the world. All of it under the watchful eye of his father. This Dave Herzog has spent more than $30,000 on state-of-the-art gaming equipment for his son. Last year, he took the extraordinary step of withdrawing his son from Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School over initial protests of Jordan's mother, so the son would have more time to devote to video games. It kind of feels like a teenage heaven, but Jordan talks of it more in terms of a career. And then they go on with a lengthy story. But this is terrible. Absolutely terrible. This is, you're telling me this is what's in the best interest of the child? Drop out of school, stop socializing,
see the quote
stop
from the
developing.
Dad? I've what? Been breeding him for this.
So creepy. Very so creepy. Yes, to be locked in a room for up to 14 also, hours a day playing video games.
Dad was also apparently one of the top eBay sellers in the world. So yes, you kind of know what you're doing.
He always fashioned himself an innovator. He has, yes, Fortnite. I mean, maybe Jordan could join the give David Price some lessons with the Red Sox. But terrible, terrible parenting, in my humble opinion.
If the kid makes it.
Someone who's never had kids.
And has a lot of money and has a nice life, etc. Maybe you can look at it and say it's worth it there, but you're sacrificing your child.
And how can he enjoy that life if he has no idea how to socialize with others? If he has no social skills, no life skills, you're just sitting in a bedroom all day playing video games, playing Fortnite.
Although he says he wakes up around noon and wears sweats most of the time.
That's kind of what I do.
That's your life.
More or less, is
this really coming from a position of envy for you,
or a position of warning? You know, that is my life at this point. Do not repeat it. And I got up earlier than noon, by the way. I got up to host with you this morning. Morning show, I'm up at 4:30.
This guy Dave just sounds like an absolute train wreck of a human being.
The father.
When he's in when he's in competition, stay away from me. I'm probably being an ass to somebody who's just really stressed out. It turns me into somebody else because it means so much.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what also means so much? Media stars. Let's do it. Wiggy loves the horns. Wiggy cracks
everybody loves
up
the
every
horns.
Time.
Great.
He hears the horns. Didn't see you crack up.
I've heard him.
You've heard him
I picture like a very little guy blowing as hard as he can to make it
more or less. Media star number three, you referenced a story earlier in the show. A great story that I'm not sure why no one had before this. Tom Curran, White House visit for Super Bowl champion Patriots, just wasn't worth the trouble. I mean, this, you know, with how divisive Trump is, all the attention these White House visits get. I mean, the Red Sox White House visit was the biggest story around the team from February through April when they finally went. And the Patriots, somehow, the most high-profile team in American sports, has swept this thing totally under the rug. And Tom Curran, last week, July 1st, 4th of July week, is the first person to surface it. So I think a great story, something that I wish I was asking about, quite frankly. So Tom Curran, there you go.
There you
media
go.
Star
nice
number
job,
three.
Tom.
Nice
play
job, number three. Number two, a man.
Play the there we go.
Oh, what we do the horns before?
Can we play the horns in between? No?
Yes. Number two.
I thought Alex was going to it, then he talked, so.
It pains me to give this man any credit, but Mark with a C. James has continuously been attacked by Chris Curtis in particular on the morning show, and he fought back this week when he was with Greg Dickerson. I enjoyed this.
But I did rank him number one.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. Do we have the 1995 Source Awards where Suge Knight? Can we get the 1995?
yeah, we do have that in the system.
We'll get it pulled right up.
The 1995 Source Awards where Suge Knight goes. You know, if you want to come to Death Row where the producer's not all in the video trying to be a host, it's like, Chris, you have the most annoying voice, well, next to Alex Reamer, on this station. Well, how old is Curtis? What was he, 84 or 34?
68 years old.
Because he has less hair than my 9-year-old grandfather, number one.
Could be a choice.
Okay. No,
that's
in
the content was very good. I was just saying, I admire the spirit.
I was going to say, you built this up.
And a guy who's like, dude, just get off the air, you're producer, shut up.
So I agree totally. Mark James has been around radio for a long time. He's filled in for Jim Rome upwards of 30 times. This guy knows what he's talking about. There's a totally reverse situation around these parts where the producers now think they are the talent, Villani, and they are bullying the talent.
Probably the three most popular people on this station are, and this is in no particular order, Lucy Burge.
Yep.
Chris Curtis.
Yep.
Ken Laird.
All producers. Yep. Well, the people
case
don't know.
In point,
the people don't
the
know what's
the three most popular people on this station, in probably in that order. It's probably Lucy, Curtis, Ken.
Maybe no, Ken Lucy's definitely number
Lucy's
one.
Lucy's number
no
one.
Doubt about
yes,
it. She plays to our demo well.
The three most popular people on this station are all producers.
Well, we have a lot of. This is a good way for me to say that I will be guest hosting the Real KNC show tomorrow morning. You will hear it. Prior to the morning show, since Curtis is vacationing in Hawaii. So I have a lot of things to pick through with Ken Laird. I'm sure we'll get to some of that tomorrow morning at 5:30. But number one, who are the number one media stars? Who is it? How about the horns? Here we go. Here we go. This is a collective award to any NBA reporter who did not act like they knew where Kawhi Leonard was going. So Woj, Ramona Shelburne, all of you, Mark Stein, New York Times, all you information people, hats off to you. You did not fall into the Chris Broussard, Stephen A., Jalen Rose trap of speaking out of your you-know-what, obviously having no idea what was going to happen. All of them saying the Clippers are out. Nope, the Clippers got him, along with Paul George. This guy, though... Thank you. A collective award for journalistic responsibility, Villani. This guy, though, Irie Abraham, we failed to mention him earlier. He's a law student who's broken a few NBA stories in recent years, and he was all over this Kawhi thing. He said the Clippers are out. He, of course, was proven wrong, and now he is not backing down. He tweeted yesterday, Kawhi's decision to join the Clippers involved a material change in circumstances. Adding a superstar is a material change in circumstances. At the time of my report, the Clippers did not have a superstar.
Oh, man.
It is a fact, in all caps, that Leonard would not have joined without a superstar. So this guy, Irie Abraham, is just getting crushed. He's lost something
like...
Take
the loss, man.
Take the L, as the kids say, exactly. He's lost something like 7,000 followers over the last few days. And this kid, he's a law student, came out of nowhere, broke a few stories. I mean, a source close to the situation has confirmed to me that Kawhi Leonard would not be happy with the fanfare, along with all the leaks currently taking place in Toronto. Obviously, has no sources close to the situation. I think this guy has just been throwing stuff against the wall. He's gotten lucky, as some of these kids do, and now he's given easy. The jig is up, man. As you mentioned, just
remember,
take the out. This is foolish. You're a law student.
Remember Jake Wesley?
Yes, I do. The 14-year-old who was caught lying about baseball rumors. Yes.
Yeah, and Reddit actually had a very good point-by-point analysis of how he would take like some report that a relatively smaller small-time reporter would put out, then he would tweet it as his own, citing sources, and they kind of took him down.
Looks like a very similar situation.
I feel
here.
Bad because he's a kid, but I mean, yeah,
as a law student, that feels bad for Irie Abraham. Hey, Chris, pleasure working with you, my friend.
Yes, likewise.
All right, so you'll be on these airwaves a few times this week.
I think
when
so.
Can we look forward to hearing
Wednesday
tones?
And Thursday evening, riding shotgun with Patrick J. Gilroy.
Excellent. Get ready for Red Sox pregame coming up with Ken Laird.
Go America.
Mario and Pemba, Will Fleming on the call. Red Sox, Tigers, and yes, go USA. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.